We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, which is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest episode of KCSN Update, your daily Chiefs podcast and video from us here at KCSN. It's the headlines, rumors, stories, and stats people are talking about to get you through the day and caught up with all things Chiefs. Different guests each week with different perspectives. The latest episode of KCSN Update, proudly presented by DraftKings, begins now.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? The sun did rise today, and the Chiefs are still leading the AFC West and tied atop the AFC Conference and still have a shot at that number one seed and the bye week with 5 weeks left in the regular season to play. A lot can still happen, but we're going to talk about what we all watched yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals, and it was frustrating. Appreciate you all for hanging out. I'm BJ Kissel, former Chiefs reporter, and now I'm working with some phenomenal people trying to build a new outlet for Kansas City sports fans here at KC Sports Network. We appreciate you for hanging out with us. This is KCSN Update, our daily Chiefs show and podcast at KC Sports Network, presented by our friends at DraftKings. It's Monday, so you know we will be joined by ESPN's Matt Miller. And let's just bring on Matt right now and talk about what we witnessed yesterday. Matt, 27-24 Bengals over the Chiefs. Had a feeling this wasn't going to be the prettiest game to watch if you're a Chiefs fan, as far as just going to be kind of a slug back and forth kind of thing. And that proved to be the case. Not a whole lot of fun to watch for Chiefs fans.
A good game, nonetheless. I think an important game because, you know, you and I come on every Monday and we talk about kind of ups and downs for this team, strengths and weaknesses, areas of concern. I thought we saw a lot of those play out, good and bad, on Sunday. And I think it's almost important to get that loss late in the season to where you have to reevaluate things. And right now, the Cincinnati Bengals have the Chiefs' numbers, 3 straight wins. I know you guys have talked about that a lot in the last 24 hours, but it gives you a target, you know, a goal. First, it was the Patriots. Now, it seems like it's the Bengals, you know, a team that does have the Chiefs' number. So there's a lot to get into today. That's to be sure.
Yeah, we generally do our stock up, stock down report, and we're going to reverse those because I don't want to annoy all the fans who don't want the rosy stuff. We'll start getting into the it's not the end of the world stuff tomorrow, or let's get to the positive thing. So there were some positive takeaways from that game. It's always that we talk about the margin of error, you know, in any NFL football game being so small that Chiefs make a couple more plays and win those games. It's amazing how many different positive things we would talk about that had nothing to do with the end of that game that we won't talk about because they ended up losing. But if you win, you make a couple more plays at the end. They don't kick that field goal. They go down and score a touchdown. Something happens. They win the game. All of a sudden, there's a lot more positive things to talk about. But at the end of the day, they lost the game. And again, like you said, 3 straight. And now there's a nemesis. There's a team that Chiefs can't get over the hump for, and seems to be the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, they'll play them again. And we talked about it on the postgame show last night. The most frustrating thing for me was all the talk going into the game and then not really backing a lot of that up. So we're going to start with the stock down report and then go stock up on the second half. But what's your first for the stock down report for the Chiefs after yesterday's loss?
Yeah, you unintentionally segued me perfectly here because I do think it was, you know, there was so much talk throughout the week. Justin Reed saying he doesn't know the name of the receivers and he's got the name of the tight end wrong. When you talk that much trash, you got to come out and play at an elevated level. We didn't see that from Justin Reed. Tackling was really bad, not just from 20, but I really think from the entire secondary last night. There were too many chunk plays, too much yards after contact, and honestly, at times, too many guys running free. I mean, for Samaje Perine to get 106 yards rushing, he's a talented player, but he should not average 5 yards a pop against a defense that was tackling very well in the front seven. Jamar Chase, you know, 7 for 97, I think it was, in his first game back. You knew he was going to be a problem, but the coverage was better than the tackling, if that makes sense. There were so many times where Bengals receivers had to make tough catches, but then they're powering through plays after the fact. And, we saw that with one of the touchdowns where it's just they were physically overpowering the Chiefs tacklers. And you expect that when you play Derrick Henry, or you expect that when other teams are playing Travis Kelce. You don't expect it to be your own defense playing against the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver. So the tackling's got to be better. And I think from a defensive standpoint, if you're going to talk that much trash as a secondary, you got to come ready. And they were not ready yesterday.
Yeah. It's one thing to not know a player's name, and like that's bad. I think they know him by numbers. So I think if you would have said like what number is he, they would have known the numbers. So I'll give a little grace there. But then he just doubled down. He was like, it's kind of soft. And it's like you can't call somebody else soft and then not come up and tackle from a safety position. There were a handful of plays, and it was very obvious that the Bengals knew. And I had made the point going into this game that Bengals weren't going to play any harder because of what was said, but they were definitely going to let him know about it after a play. And we'd see that kind of chippiness a little bit. And it seemed to resonate with the Bengals because even in the third quarter, anytime Justin Reed was near a play, at least one of the Bengals players was looking back and doing something. Yeah. We saw Jamar Chase just getting his face into it. And there was really no response for that. And then even on a simple tackle on the outside, if Justin Reed was near the play, somebody was kind of looking at him. Don't know if what they were saying, if they were saying something directly, but they were definitely staring to see if he was looking in case they had something to say. So that part was the most disappointing to me, was that there was no real answer after kind of shining that light and putting that spotlight on yourselves to come out and not tackle was not great. But yeah, as far as not ideal at all. But as far as stock down, what else stood out to you from that game?
Yeah, I also think something we talked about last week, BJ, and we said, hey, we're being super picky. They won against the Rams. Let's not read into this too much, but it could come back. And it's, so we're just putting it out there. And that was the lack of spark in the passing game. I think we finally saw it, come to in a game where it mattered, which is what we've said about like Harrison Butker and extra points. And we said it about the spark in the passing game. At some point, we're pointing this out because it might matter. I think it mattered yesterday, not even taking into account the rare Travis Kelce fumble, like things that you never see. That's a fluke. Let's not worry about it. But there is a lack of spark in this passing game where it's almost like defenses have understood now, bend but don't break. We're going to put a bubble around this passing concepts, and we're not going to let anybody get behind us. We're going to be wrap up tacklers, and it's going to shut this team down to some degree. I do think we saw that. Juju is good for like one or two a game. It feels like we're like, God, he's almost there. MVS had a really good catch down the field, but there's not that consistent threat level where you can see defenses back on their heels. This is not just a, oh, Tyreek Hill's gone. It's that Mecole Hardman is out, and there's your speed over the top. It's that Sky Moore is not being integrated into the offense at a high level yet. So I think in this iteration that we have right now, this is a powerful post-up wide receiver core that they have on the field right now because of injury. They're really missing some of that spark down the field.
The frustrating part is you feel like they have the guys to get it done. Justin Watson can fly, and we've seen him make big plays. We've seen Noah Gray make plays, and we know MVS and these guys. It's just the consistency and just going down there. And again, we, in some ways, we are still being a little bit picky because we're still talking about the number one scoring offense team that has been really, really good. But in the instances where they've gone up against teams that they may see in the playoffs in the AFC this year, looking at the Titans, that it was a margin of error game that they ended up on the good side of. And then you've got the Bills and the Bengals and two of those games that they lost. And one of those games at home. So it's not time to panic. It's not a panic type thing, but it's just a man, they've got to have it click for them against an opponent that they're going to see again down the road. And the only thing that I can, from a philosophical standpoint, looking at this, thinking could help them down the road when they face the Bengals again, because Bengals gonna have all the confidence in the world, is the Chiefs can get back to everybody is doubting us, we are the underdog kind of deal, which sometimes teams thrive off of. A lot of players, Patrick Mahomes would thrive off of that kind of messaging. And now that's kind of what it's set up to be if they do have a rematch in the playoffs, is that the Chiefs are completely the underdogs and the Bengals completely have their number and there's nothing they can do about it. And with all the trash talk, made it even worse, because after the game and the Bengals fans are talking and Chiefs fans are getting upset, it's like they're being kind of nice compared to some of the things that they could have said post game and afterwards, just because of, you know, they backed it up and the Chiefs didn't.
And I think one thing to think about, BJ, maybe you guys have touched on this, is the Chiefs' losses this year, or the two losses to playoff teams, it's against defenses that are safety-driven. You know, the Bills, you have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, who are a great duo. The Bengals have a really underrated group. Jesse Bates is obviously a household name, but Von Bell always plays the Chiefs very well. Mike Hilton in the slot is really good at what he does. So it's teams that have that, you know, kind of unique safety duo where they can limit Travis Kelce to four catches, you know, where they can take away some of the check down stuff through the middle. The Bengals are a good team. I think that is the other thing, is this is not a team to overlook. And maybe maybe you guys don't see that, but I can tell you on a national level, a lot of people didn't take this team seriously last year, and they have not taken them seriously this year because they're, they were 7-4. Like, what? Okay, whatever. Well, I think a lot more people are taking them seriously today.
Yeah, and they started slow. I think that was part of the deal, and that, you know, they started off the season not playing very well. And, you know, when the schedule came out, this is the game that I had circled, just because they ended our season a year ago in a game that, I want to say offensively, the Chiefs looked much better yesterday than they did in that playoff game. I don't think that that's a hot take or something that Chiefs fans could listen to and get upset about. They did. But you look at the Chiefs at, 9-3 right now, and they lost three games by a total of 10 points. So the whole, this is very frustrating. It was annoying. And I think, again, not to hit on for like the fifth time, but all the trash talk and not being able to go out there and tackle just made it feel worse. But keeping some perspective of what Andy Reid, what Patrick Mahomes, what they've done in situations where we felt like this over the last 10 years with them, they seem to figure it out. They get on the same page, but there's no doubt that if they face this Bengals team again, that it's going to have a different feel going into it, and that the Chiefs will absolutely be the underdog and not favored in the game, and no one really thinking that they're going to win that one, because now it's three. It's not a fluke. That is they have our number, and Joe Burrow is, I think we had one quarterback hit. George Kalafdis got the one sack. They had one quarterback hit in that game. I know Matty Landon on our postgame show talked about just the blitzing not working. Like, they torched us when we were blitzing. And then when we sat back, they tore us apart and we couldn't tackle. When you sit back and you rally around, keep things in front, and you don't tackle, you can't do anything. And when they sent extra guys, it just wasn't getting home. So a lot of blame to share around. It was a team deal, but there's also a need for perspective that some fans might want to hear. Some fans are still probably pissed off, but three losses this year by 10 points. Chiefs aren't going to go blow everybody out and win every game by 20 points and just run away with a Super Bowl. These other teams are very, very good. And to your point, safety driven, and they've got two number one receivers. Jamar Chase, one of the two best young receivers in football, depending on how you want to argue those five or six guys that everyone seems to talk about. And then T. Higgins, guys.
Tyler Boyd would be a number two or maybe even a number one for some teams. Like, they're deep and they're talented.
Yeah. Before we move on to the stock up, let's stay on the stock down for one more, because on our post game show last night, we had a lot of comments about one particular guy on the left side of that offensive line. And at this point, like, as much as I always want to, I've never talked to him, but as much as you want to root for players who bet on themselves, there was a lot made about the contract negotiations for Orlando Brown Jr. coming into this season, holding out, wanting that to be paid like a top three, top two left tackle, whatever it was. There was reports out there, but you never know. But he wanted to get paid more than he was being offered, and hasn't done anything this season to show that he warrants even the contract that was initially offered to him, let alone what he was asking for.
Yeah, I struggle. Again, I was trying to pull my notes up on him. I mean, I think this is the worst year he's had. My job is to follow these guys, especially early in their careers, and kind of evaluate them and figure them out. This is the worst year I can remember him playing. And, you know, like you said, he bet on himself. He said, I'm not a right tackle, I'm a left tackle. Trade me from Baltimore to Kansas City. He was expected to shore up an offensive line that, you know, Eric Fisher got hurt. We all saw what happened in the Super Bowl that year. yesterday was another, I think, probably more of an obvious, just really bad game from Orlando Brown Jr. And it's funny because I'll have Chiefs fans tweet me and they'll say 57 or they'll say OBJ because they know this is a guy that searches his name on Twitter and is going to get mad if you say anything critical about him. But, you know, I do, it's fair to be critical. It's an odd player to watch because he's so tall. You know, he lost weight and I think he lost some strength when he did that. He doesn't seem to have the agility. You know, Joseph Osai embarrassed him yesterday with an inside speed move. We've seen that consistently. You know, to be, like you said, paid as a top three left tackle, you got to be good against Von Miller. You got to be good against Trey Hendrickson. You really got to be good against Joseph Osai, who's, you know, mm-hmm. really in his first year after missing last year due to injury. So it's one of those things. He's a free agent. And you have to start thinking about the long-term build of this team, BJ. You know this better than anybody. You can only pay so many positions. And yeah. So I think it comes down to what's your replacement value for Orlando Brown Jr. right now? No, you're not going to probably find, you know, a top five left tackle in free agency or available on the trade block. But what is the replacement value of his salary and his level of play? Could you draft someone at the end of the first round who could step in and be that good by year two or year three at a yep. fraction of the cost? I think that's something you have to think about for this team because you got guys you got to pay. And I've said this at many positions as the Chiefs kind of churn this roster over from the Super Bowl win. You got to figure out areas you can save. And left tackle yep. is a huge one.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And you know this better than anybody, is that the Chiefs will not go into the offseason and through free agency planning on having a rookie, even a first round pick, even if they trade it up to 15-ish. They're not going to put all their eggs into a basket that is a complete unknown, whether they could get the player that they even want.
Right?
And yeah. And you can't build a team based on people like, well, just get a left tackle in the draft. Like, you can't go through free. Like, that in theory, it seems nice to be able to say that, but in actuality and to be real, like, you go through free agency, their best bet is to find either a 38, 39-year-old left tackle who's at the tail end, obviously, of his career, but still playing at a high enough level that he might give you a year. So when you draft somebody in the first, second round or whatever, they've got that year to learn, and then you hope that works out. But to your point, they don't just let top five left tackles on the open market.
Right.
You know, we can start speculating who could be available and who you might be able to trade for with teams that need more draft picks. And I'm sure there's time for that conversation. But for now, it's how can they either help Orlando Brown Jr. enough to still execute the offense at a high enough level to win enough games in the playoffs to try to go win a Super Bowl. Because, like, as much as I respect, you know, Philadelphia and the teams in the NFC. I don't think the Chiefs are going to face any teams better than what they've already faced this year in order to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
I don't think the challenge is going to be any more difficult than Buffalo, Cincinnati, Tennessee to some extent. Miami gives you a little bit different of a look. I know there's different teams, but nobody's significantly better. So we've seen what it will take to win a Super Bowl, and they've lost three games by 10 points. So they very much could still do it. It's just going to be a little bit more difficult in areas that we thought were going to be better, like the offensive line, in particular Orlando Brown Jr., are going to make that not necessarily the case.
Right. It's fascinating. We have a couple more weeks of football to get through before we start game planning how to fix this roster or address future needs, you know. It's something to, like you said, sometimes we peek ahead and say, here's something to worry about, like with the lack of, you know, big plays from the offense. Yesterday it mattered. And so I think pointing out Orlando Brown Jr., watch it, because yesterday it mattered. And as you get into the playoffs, let me tell you, every team has a good defense when you make it to the playoffs. So you got to be ready.
All right, let's turn gears, talk a little stock up. I'm sure we'll get right back to stock down as we get into this and start talking through it more, since it is less than 24 hours since obviously the Chiefs played when we're recording this show. But stock up. I know when you texted me last night after, you know, what his, I think it was after his touchdown run, had a nice kickoff return. But Isaiah Pacheco,
another week of stock up. You know, I love the way he plays. And I thought Jerick McKinnon had a really good game as well. So, you know, both running backs, they run with so much urgency, and it's almost, you know, violence. They're out of the blocks so fast. And we saw that spark. You know, they were over 100 yards rushing last night, which at the time I thought, okay, like this is good. You've got two rushing touchdowns. Mahomes got the jump ball in there. You've got over 100 yards on the ground. That is great to slow down Joe Burrow, to keep that offense off the field. The problem was sustaining it, you know, and not having some short drives, especially late in the game. But I do think we're seeing Pacheco become a bigger part of this offense, where I think you're okay. You know, we were just talking about how can you save money on this team. Having a seventh rounder as your starting running back is the way you can save money on this team. So he's going to be an important piece of this offense moving forward, BJ, not just 3 years from now, but right now. He's going to be an important part for the rest of the season and for the postseason run, because you can lean on him, and he's showing power, he's showing vision. And he's a starting running back, and he continues to get better every week.
No, and I brought this up before, but Brett Veach going back before the draft and saying there's a 1,000-yard rusher in the seventh round of this draft. He said that before that draft this past spring. And I don't know if anyone specifically asked him, was like, were you talking about Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah.
Was that the guy that you were talking about? But we talked about post game show last night. I thought Jerick McKinnon provided a spark, and we saw it in the two games last week. I kind of talked about this in a few of the shows leading up to the game last week, that, you know, in the two losses last year to the Bengals, the Chiefs had actually ran the ball pretty effectively. They averaged over 6 yards per carry in both of those games, which is saying something, especially the way that they ran the ball yesterday. Cause DJ Reader, like we talked about during the week, I talked about Brett Holmes. He is an absolute monster. He was a problem, but they still found ways to kind of neutralize him and get some chunk plays in the running game. But whenever you're talking about a team with not only with Andy Reid at head coach, but with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, like, you're not going to rely solely on the running game. If you're running the ball a ton relative to normal, you're at maybe a 60-40 split instead of 70-30 or 80-20. Pacheco, I love how hard he runs. I love the spark he provides. I love when he takes a big pop, he hops right up and sprints back. Like, I love all that stuff. I think that resonates with his teammates. And he was one of the guys yesterday that felt like he was into it in that kind of way. You know, the guys are into it. I'm not saying they don't care in a lot of those comments that people make, but there's a little something extra, and they're matching or bringing it compared to what their opponent is. And it stood out with Pacheco yesterday. And that was a spark that felt like at the time that he made some of those plays, it was really needed for the Chiefs.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even I think we got a shout out, because we've been so worried about the punt return game. We got a shout out that it was just a clean game from the return perspective yesterday. So that's a stock up, you know, to see Pacheco back there as a kick returner. Watson, I think fair caught the one punt that the Bengals had, but I will say my other stock up, BJ, it's another rookie, Trent McDuffie. For all the bad things we could say about the defense yesterday, you know, not really getting home to Burrow with that rebuilt Bengals offensive line. You know, Chris Jones is fairly quiet compared to what we've seen, but Trent McDuffie had a really good game. And for a player who's still, you know, in the first quarter of his rookie season, he's playing really, really good football. And the Bengals wide receiver core, Like, that's the best test you're going to get in the NFL. I mean, yeah, your individual matchups, you know, you might have a Justin Jefferson or a Stephon Diggs. Jamar Chase is pretty damn good. And as we talked about, they're so deep and their passing concepts are so good that, you know, that's an A1 test. And I thought he played exceptionally well. Joshua Williams played well. Also, I definitely have to shout him out. I think in those young corners, Brett Veach has something. And you got another late rounder, just like L'Jarius Sneed, who was a huge impact. And now you got your frontline guy, I think, for the long term, and that's Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I think of the new guys that didn't play in that game last year, talking about Pacheco, talking about McDuffie, and on the offensive side, Juju Smith-Schuster. I thought his fourth down catch where he kind of out-physicaled the defensive back to get there. At that moment, that was one of those plays that we would have been talking about had the Chiefs pulled out that win. And then the MVS, his two catches deep down the field. I know you talked about the spark in the passing game. Hopefully, when Mecole Hardman gets back or Kadarius Toney, I just feel like some of those easy throws, easy plays that pick up 7, 8, 12, 15 yards just because of pure athleticism. We're not seeing a lot of those. Not about Tyreek Hill. It's just the way that Andy Reid's offense goes. Some of those jet sweeps, some of those different things that they're doing, they're missing because they don't have that skill set in their offensive playbook right now with Kadarius Toney, who we hope comes back real soon. But if there's a rematch, that is going to be something that's talked about, that, you know, the Chiefs were missing some guys, in particular on offense, for some of that spark that you were talking about.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I think even just having, you know, Mecole or, you know, having Kadarius Toney in there, even if they're not producing stats, it's that threat. You know, Sammy Watkins used to be that guy. He might not catch a ton of passes, but you have to account for him and you have to respect his speed. So getting some of those guys back will be key. And like you said, I think this is a matchup we're probably going to see again in about a month and a half. So be ready for it.
All right. Before we let you go, again, talking with ESPN's Matt Miller. Matt, what message do you have for Chiefs Kingdom as somebody who lives in Chiefs Kingdom but is not a Chiefs fan that loves to root for the Chiefs players and their individual success? Just because it's funner. It's more fun to live in the community when the Chiefs are playing well. Everybody's in a better mood. But what message do you have for Chiefs fans after a loss that based on social media, and that's not always the greatest barometer for things, but pretty pissed off, pretty upset, pretty down right now.
Well, the sky's not falling. You still have a chance to have the number one seed in the AFC. You still have a chance to have home field advantage. You still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Every team loses since 1972. Every team loses. So it's okay to be pissed. I'm sure the players are even more upset, but as we've seen with this team, that usually gives them a spark they need. I'm sorry you finally had to experience a December loss with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of us who are fans of other teams get to experience this all the time.
I'm a Niners fan. Think about that.
We're on Brock Purdy as a quarterback right now, so you guys don't really get to talk. You can be sad. Everybody should be sad, but it's been 5 years. You finally lost the game in December. I think it's okay. You'll be okay.
Man, I hadn't thought about that till right now. I think it was 26 or 27 straight. Yeah, they had before that loss. That's tough. I guess Patrick Mahomes is human after all. And there's a lot of people are going to make a lot of comments about this game, but I thought Mahomes played pretty well. He was running for his life in some of those big moments. Yeah. But again, margin of error in these games is real small. They make a couple more plays. We're talking completely differently about this game.
Absolutely.
But to hammer it for, I think, a sixth or seventh time, the most frustrating part was the talk leading into the game and then how they came out defensively. And didn't really match some of the things that they had said going into that one. So that was frustrating. But, man, Matt, we appreciate your time. It's ESPN's Matt Miller. You can find all his work covering the NFL draft and the NFL at ESPN. And we'll have Matt on a lot more as we get closer to the playoffs and into the offseason draft, all that good stuff, man. But appreciate you and appreciate everybody for listening and or watching this video or podcast and for spending part of your day with us. I'm going to get back to my daughter who's homesick from school that was getting a little bored and wanted
she's
to crash. Saw her head popping up if you're watching on YouTube. So she's getting a little antsy. So I'll get back to that. But we appreciate all of you for hanging out. Please hit that like and subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. And we don't just cover Chiefs. We cover all Kansas City sports. So just search KCSN on your favorite platform. You can find all our stuff. But we appreciate all of you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN.
Covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current. Plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou. By searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.